In the company, we have a phrase here. There's 2 days a year you can't do anything on. Absolutely nothing, Andy. You can do nothing on these 2 days a year. Yesterday and tomorrow. It's only today, man. So every day when you wake up, it's the discipline of today that will make you better for tomorrow's today when you wake up. Enjoy that day. Enjoy making your food. Enjoy measuring it. Enjoy working out. When I go to the gym, I have a certain number of sets. I'm only going to do that many. So enjoy all of them. Take them to the end. Make it a journey that counts, because tomorrow will never be here and yesterday is already gone. You only have today.
Meet your host, Andy Naylor. Andy is a men's physique transformation expert, competitive physical champion, and a multi-six-figure business owner who has helped thousands of busy, high-achieving men get into the best shape of their lives and reconnect with their inner alpha. On this show, Andy is going to share with you his playbook on feeling healthy again, avoiding the common pitfalls successful men fall into, dropping 20 to 30 pounds of fat, and building a physique you can finally be proud of. And the transformations aren't just physical either. You're going to learn how meeting your personal goals will help support your professional achievements, giving you that true alpha mentality. Let's go.
Mr. Andy.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. It's wonderful for me to get to come back and get to speak to people once they've sort of had, you know, a journey through the program, and nice for me to get to find out what's been going on and I guess reminisce a little bit and find out what progress has been made. So yeah, look, wonderful to see you. And a good place to start is because, of course, people, you know, watching and listening to this won't have any idea who you are, what you do, where you are, you know, where you live, but also then maybe follow that up with, where were you in a place before you, well, you know, leading up to the point that you found us and decided that we were the right program? Like, maybe give listeners an indication as to, you know, what were you maybe struggling with? Like, you know, what were you trying to achieve? Like, what maybe drove you to a point of, I need to do something about this? Like, let's find out a bit about you.
All right. So I actually live in the Midwest in the U.S. in Wisconsin, or Minnesota and Wisconsin. So I oversee, I'm the COO for RV dealerships. We have 12 of them that we oversee in Minnesota, Illinois, and Wisconsin. So super busy. My life is unique, though, in that I live in Minnesota and travel to Wisconsin Monday through Fridays. So I'm doing all of this staying at a resort hotel during the week. And so but we could get into that. But I legitimately bring a tote with Foreman grills and measuring and scales. And so I'm all in on the whole program. But again, we can talk about that. So kind of what brought me here was I've always been competitive. So I ran Ironman races. I ran marathons back in the late 90s. I've tried to be very competitive in sports my whole life. I guess when I reached just a certain age, I'm in my 50s now, I kind of let up on that, thinking that, you know, hey, maybe I've reached a point where I can not be quite as active as I was. And quite frankly, it's not true. It's just not true. And so I was doing cardio every day. Walking and running alternately, not really doing any resistance training per se. I've done it in the past, but I wasn't at this point. Pretty stagnant, right? Sitting right at about that same weight for quite some time. I have 12 grandchildren between my fiance and I. Wow. Three of them live very close to me. The other 9 live out in Idaho. One of them lives in our home, and he's 3 and full of energy. And frankly, I didn't want to get up off the floor like an old man anymore. So it's time to be healthy. It's time to get back to where I was. You and I had a unique conversation. I asked, is it possible to get back to where I was at my healthiest when I was 25, which is I'll weigh 15 pounds more than I do, but I'll be 10% less body fat than I am right now. Can I get there in my 50s? And your answer was good enough for me to be right here sitting in front of you on a journey. So there you go.
I mean, it's one of those, that's also one of those questions, which is, it's nearly impossible to answer. But I always say to people, you know, when they come and join the program, and we're very selective of who we let in, you know, not when you let a certain number of people in and particular people who come into the program. And I always say that one of the things I'm looking for, well, what I'm not looking for is someone has to be at this particular place or know this particular thing. Like we can teach people that, and it's more mindset. It's more, what does the goal mean to someone? How important actually is the goal? And what is their mindset and belief in themselves? And if someone's got those things, we will take them as far as they, within reason, as far as they want to go. And we always find, you know, whenever I sit here talking to people, you know, successful, you know, there's common threads running through successful people. And it's normally a mindset and attitude, which interestingly is when I look to hire people in terms of working in the business, I look for exactly the same attributes. You know, I don't necessarily look for how skillful they are in something. We could teach them that. I look for, do they have the right, you know, do they have the right attitude and mindset towards something? Because that will go a long way. So to go back, then you'd obviously done a lot.
So I ran marathons for a while. Then I actually added the 2.5 mile swim and 112 mile fun. Bike before the marathon.
Just for fun, right? Okay,
you cool down in the marathon.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So you'd obviously done those and got to a point where you thought, hey, I think I've done enough now to see me through type thing, and then realized actually that's not the case. And so were you finding that were you beginning to decline? Were you seeing like health, wellness, longevity beginning sliding away? Was that what you were concerned about?
Yeah. So health-wise, I've knock on wood, I've never had any real serious issues with my health. But energy level, sleep quality, like I said, getting onto the floor and off of the floor, playing with a three-year-old, how long could I play with the three-year-old before I give up and he's still going? Those things were very noticeable. And truthfully, some of the things that when we reached out on LinkedIn that intrigued me was better focus at work as well, right? By doing some of these things, and Shauna has been absolute amazing coach to work with. And one of her phrases that she said to me was, going to failure in the gym is very much like failing at work. You can get past it and the mindset carries. I wanted that, right? So not only health at home, but focus at work, energy at work, those things all matter.
Yeah, it's like, I think that, like you sum that up, it's like resilience, isn't it? It's nearly a fortitude when someone's able to push to a certain place physically in the gym. And let's be honest, you know, to get results physically, we have to take our body to a place that it technically doesn't want to go, to a degree. And then, you know, just a little bit to where it doesn't want to go, it gets used to it. And then we move forward. But mentally, the same thing happens, you know, being able to deal with a certain amount of workload per day, or, you know, repetitive nature of things, or stress or pressure or these things, given that, you know, the demographic that we work with is men a lot and busy business leaders, a lot on their shoulders. There comes a point where we can only achieve so much mentally if our body is performing well. We cannot expect, rightfully so, to think I can perform optimally mentally and then be 50, 60 pounds overweight or potentially pre-diabetic or suffering and struggling with all of these things, and then think we're going to be optimal daily in terms of our output and performance in work. Like when we think about it, it just doesn't make sense. We need as many things aligned as possible to give us the best shot possible. Have you noticed in terms of work output or quality of thinking, cognitive function, lack of decision fatigue, have you noticed any, if you think back to where you were before you joined and maybe where things were declining, have you seen now in terms of the workplace an upswing in productivity of yourself?
Absolutely. There's no drop off in the afternoon. I've always been a super early person in the morning, but now at 3, 4, 5 o'clock, I'm still going, which I think people who maybe haven't done this a lot in their life might seem somewhat counterintuitive. I bust my ass in a gym, right, for an hour in the morning, get to a point where it's hard to shower because my arms can't push enough to get the soap. And somehow throughout the day, I have more energy, right? So absolutely, I have noticed a little clarity and a lot more longevity in the focus and the energy that I'm exerting.
And it is counterintuitive. People are like, hang on, so I'm going to go to a gym, you want me to expend energy, and then you think I'm going to have more energy later. It's like, how does that possibly work? But, well, we both know now that it's exactly how it works. And interestingly so, and maybe now do you train in the morning, by the way? Do you get your training done in the morning?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I also think, I mean, I would say, for the demographic that we work with, I would say 90% of people train first thing in the morning. And there's a number of benefits. It's not that it's the right time, but I think for a lot of people, it just works out. If they don't do it in the morning, it's not going to happen later in the day. I also know that, I run a very, a very busy business. I know, but, it's now, what time is it for me now? It's now 7:30 in the evening for me. There's no way that I would now walk into a gym and give my best performance. For me, my best performance is 5:30, 6 in the morning. And I get it done in that way. Now, what's interesting is if I wake up in the morning and think, oh, I'm going to have a little rest and not do that, I'm sluggish all the way through the day. My performance physically and mentally through the day will be far worse. And so tell us all a little bit about the early stages, sort of coming on board, getting plans. How did you find the alignment of whatever it was you were doing before, which I'm guessing probably wasn't structured and maybe wasn't aligned to go? How did it feel to have the transition into a more at least structured form of training, eating, things like that? Like, how did that sort of go for you?
I love it. Okay. So when I ran Ironmans, I hired a coach. So I'm not unfamiliar with a coaching system. And look, I believed going in this 100% that I don't go to my dentist and say, hey, I want you to do this, but I'm going to tell you how, right? I say, hey, let's have you do it. So when I signed up, I wanted to know, what do I need to do to get where I want to go and to feel what I want to feel? And I jumped full-heartedly all in. I'll tell you that for me, I was doing intermittent fasting. I know that's like the big thing out there. I was eating a certain number of calories. So when Shauna told me, okay, your calories are going to be X, it was more than I was eating. Mm-hmm. And she said, you're not going to do cardio at the beginning, but we're going to lose fat. I thought, oh man, this again, counterintuitive, right? But hey, I'm not going to question, I'm going to do it. And interestingly enough, at the beginning, it was more food because I was eating processed garbage, high calorie count. Label says great protein, probably not, right? Labeled foods, etc. Now I'm on the nutritional program you have with real foods, real cooked, real fresh. So it was more food at the beginning than I was eating. I thought, how am I going to do this? Now, I'll be honest, I've dropped in weight every week and starving.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because again, most people, when they come to us, are, I wouldn't say, it's actually not a lot of people who come to us and at the beginning are absolutely overeating. Of course, it happens. Every now and then someone will come in and be like, you're just literally eating everything you can see. But the reality is most people are trying to manage what they eat. It's just the choices. So,
that's right.
And they'll be trying to really manage a tiny amount of food, but the caloric nature of that food is really high. And so, of course, we can then come along and say, okay, you're going to be eating more. There might be more calories. It depends on the individual, but we can certainly have someone eating more volume of food, therefore feeling a lot fuller, but actually dropping body fat. And again, what Shana's done there is something that we very typically do, which is we'll try and take cardio to a degree away from someone at the beginning and probably just manage what we call neat activity, steps. I bet she probably started managing steps and keeping it on just daily movement because we have I've had a saying in my mind when I've coached people for the 22 odd years, which is get the most out of the least, because it's a good approach. So for example, if someone comes to us and says, oh, I'm training 7 days a week, and we're like, okay, well, we don't need you to. Well, I'm used to it. It's like, well, yeah, but okay, well, what happens when 7 days a week doesn't work anymore? What are you going to do? Train twice a day? So it's better to do the least amount possible to get the positive result. Then it's not difficult to do just a little bit more. You know, if you were dropping body fat on X number of calories and say doing 8,000 steps a day, it's not really difficult to go from 8,000 to 10,000 steps. Well, not really hard, but it would make a difference. So this happens quite a lot where someone will come in and look, and I think what you've done really well there is, which is put your trust in Shauna. You've put your trust in your coach, because at no point, given all the experience we've got, are we ever going to tell a client to do something that's not going to actually take them towards their goal, or at least fix something along the way? But we definitely do. And I get this. I can completely understand it, because someone's going to be thinking to themselves, well, hang on a second. Do you really know what you're doing? Because I've needed to do these things to even stay where I am, let alone make progress. But the way that we look at it is, well, we're looking at progress 3-4 months down the road. And sometimes that requires a change of baseline, things that are going on. Your analogy of the dentist, you don't go to a dentist and say, I'd like you to drill the hole in my tooth this particular way. You don't go to a doctor and say, I'd like you to, I don't know, do my health checkup this particular way. You put your trust in them. And I think to do that for us is amazing. And so there's major elements. Well, there's really three major elements, I suppose, what we do, which is nutrition and training. And you've sort of pointed those out a little bit. But then accountability is a big part to what we do. So like the check-in procedure and process.
Alphas, I interrupt this show with a simple message. This show is here to benefit you and your progression to the best version of yourself. But not only just you, it's also here to benefit the people around you, your loved ones, your friends, other alphas in your vicinity. So why not do a really cool thing today? Something that I would thank you for and maybe someone else would. Share this podcast with at least one other alpha out there who you know would benefit from it. Why not share the information, share the ability for someone else to grow? I'm sure they would thank you. I 100% would absolutely thank you. This podcast only grows by our listeners, our followers doing amazing things like giving us 5-star reviews, downloading podcasts, subscribing, and then of course sharing it with other people. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Share it with one person, and of course drop us a 5-star review, download the podcast, and you know, of course subscribe. And now back to the show.
Talk to us a little bit about how you found that. Shana was the first coach that I brought into the business, and she's headmistress stern when she wants to be. And I love her for that. She, you know, she doesn't pull any punches, which is absolutely awesome. So tell me a little bit about the sort of accountability and check-in process, and maybe any insights you could give to people listening and any aha moments that you've had going through that process.
Take it serious, man. That's the first thing that I would say is on when I use the MyFitnessPal, which is something that you guys would do. And so I take it serious. I don't just say, well, that's about 5 ounces of chicken. I bought a scale that travels with me and say it is 5 ounces of chicken. Right.
Yep.
So when I fill out the forms, when I do the weekly accountability, I'm taking pride in showing my coach, I did what you asked me to do. These are the true results. What else do we need to do? If you're going to be halfway about it, then coach can't tell you really what to do. And it's hard, Andy, because you don't see it yourself. Every day you look in the mirror. So the changes, you adapt with your change. So I remember I was week 3, I think, maybe week 4, and thinking to myself, man, I don't feel like I can see a lot of difference. I feel good, but I don't see a lot of difference. Well, it turns out that week she pulled up 2 photos. Well, damn, there was a difference, right? So that accountability, not only take pride in what you submit, be honest, be real, be 100% so that feedback can be real, right? And Sean and I work on different things. Be real, but more importantly, be accountable to them. And show pride in what you're doing when you're filling that out so you can get that back. Now, I haven't had the stern, Shauna, because I've just listened. The accountability to me was key because I wanted to prove I was doing it so that she could prove I would get the results. If you're not willing to do both ways, it's tough.
Do half the work, get half the result, right? I think you definitely said that in somewhere. No one can complain about the results they didn't get from the work they didn't do. But the one thing I really love what you said in there is take pride in your work, technically. It's a really good insight because, you know, we are asking people to, look, here's what you need to do, go away and do it. And it's like, we don't mind whether someone does or doesn't. It's not our, I mean, yeah, we care, yes. But when you think about it, although a coach is going to be emotionally invested, one of the things I say to my coach is don't get too emotionally invested because we can't make another human do another thing. We can't make them. We can guide, we can direct, we can inspire. I hasten to use the word motivate, but you can't take a horse to water and make it drink. So I say to all the coaches, and I try and remind myself that, you know, don't become over emotionally connected to what another human, because we can never control another human. But what you've just said there is then the exact amazing thing, which is, for a client, for an individual to take pride in what they're doing, because that's what it really comes down to. If a human wants a result, they are ultimately responsible for that result. Like it would be the same if I wanted to go and learn to play the piano. I could hire someone to teach me how to do it. And if they said to me, you need to practice for 10 minutes every day. Well, if I don't, well, then I can't expect the result that I should be getting from those lessons and from that training. And it's the same with this. And someone might not want to weigh and track their food. But if they want the quickest result, the quickest path to the result, weighing and tracking food is going to be part of it. And you're like, well, I've got a set of scales and just take it with me. And so you're sitting there saying, well, why would you not, right? Here's a question for you. You're now weighing and tracking your food. Do you feel that doing that is giving you, do you feel that that's putting you into a food prison and making food negative? Or do you feel that that's putting you in a position where actually, if you wanted to swap foods in and out, the fact that you're now in control, like, how does that element feel to you? Because I think this is a really important part for people to hear.
I absolutely feel like I am more free at this point than I am in a prison. And some of the people that I'm around are like, man, doesn't it get boring? No, because I cook it different, right? Like sometimes I'll have chicken on rice. Sometimes I cut it up and mix up something in it. But I always measure the macros because I want to hit what I've been asked to hit, right? So many proteins, so many. Now, I'm always lower on fat. To me, it has been mind opening that I don't have to think too much. I get to be creative with the things that I like and see the result from being fixed to it. So I very much don't think it's like a prison. I would even say this, Andy, I would say try to find a way or an excuse or a discipline to do it, not the reason why you won't do it. And I'll give you a personal example. I used to drink 1 or 2 ounces of whiskey at night, and I like top shelf whiskey. It tastes amazing to me. It's a beautiful thing. When you presented me with my nutrition plan, Shauna gave me an option on the bottom. So you're going to have these meals, and in your snack, you can have so many calories. If you do alcohol, this is how many snack calories you get. Well, so I reached out, hey, tell me about the alcohol. It's blank calories. It does this. It's not good for you. So I chose to find a reason to make my plan more successful, and I don't drink anymore. Find a reason to make it more disciplined and successful, not a reason to stay where you are. Comfort is where you are. Change is where you're not. Go to where you want to be. You know what I mean? Go to where you want to be.
It's like making a decision that you in a year will thank you for now, technically.
Yeah.
You know, or even the you tomorrow. It's like do things today that when you're tomorrow, you can look back and be like, oh, I'm glad I did that yesterday because I'm one step ahead. And it can simply be, you know, it could be, you know, it doesn't mean you can't have a nice drink every now and again. No. But maybe every night is, oh, okay, maybe I don't need to do it every night. Maybe it's just two nights a week and I'll enjoy it all that little bit more. But also, I mean, alcohol is one of those funny things. I mean, certainly people will come to and say to us, oh, I'm not, you know, you're not going to get me to give up alcohol. I'm like, it's entirely up to you. Like, we're not going to come along and say to someone, you can't drink alcohol, you know, because if we said that to somebody, what are they going to do? Oh, no, you know, people naturally dig their heels into the floor. We're like, it's completely up to you. We will just give you two insights. One, if you want to get to the goal quicker and easier, it's going to be a damn sight easier if you didn't. All right. And we've told you, if you're happy about slower progress, ultimately, which is okay, we're not judging, but if you're happy with that, then crack on. We'll build this in. It doesn't make a difference to us. Our job is to try and get someone swiftly along to their goal. But at the end of the day, for some people, there are going to be maybe certain elements of their life that they're like, okay, I'm not prepared to give that up. And we're like, that's fine. You're not a bad person for not giving this thing up. Some things in life are, heck, why are we here if we don't get to enjoy some of these things? Like, we get that. So looking forward now, so, you know, in terms of where you are now and in terms of where you might be over, you know, what are the plans from this point going forward? What are the goals have you put in front of yourself, or what are you looking off to going achieving from this point forward?
So right now, I just want to keep on where I'm at, to be honest. I'm seeing the transformation. I am 100% committed to being where I was when I was 25. I am more than twice that age now. And so to me, it's brought back that competitive fire that I had doing the activities in the sports. And I get to have it for an hour in the morning and with my discipline through my meals. And I feel that competitiveness again, and it's transferring into my business. It's transferring into the company, into my life. And so I just see sticking with it. I do want to say one thing, Andy, and I watched a video from you this morning, and I'll let people watch it on their own, but I would tell people, don't look for motivation. To Andy's point on his video, like, I carry a huge tote when I travel, and I go into hotels with 3 or 4 bags, and because I've decided to do it. And there are times when you get to a hotel, when you're packing up at night, in the afternoon, you're like, this is stupid, right? I look like an idiot. I have to bring an entire wheeler for just one guy's stuff. but I do it because I said I'm going to. And when you say you're going to, you just got to do it. So to me, I'm in it for, it's going to take a couple of years to get where I want to go. And I'm not naive enough to not know that. And so I'm looking in the future at me about 15 pounds heavier than I am, 10% less body fat than I am, jumping around on the floor with my grandkids, traveling to Europe again. That's where I'm headed. That's what I want. And carrying my stuff in and the discipline to get there is just what you do to have what you want.
It's just the vehicle to the result, isn't it? What's the steps I need to take to get to the place I need to get to? Because if I always do what I did, I'll always get what I've got. So I need to change something, yeah. You know, and it'll be different sacrifices that each person needs to make. And it'll be different levels of sacrifice that each person needs to make. But at the end of the day, I mean, what you've said there kind of reminds me of when I used to compete. And basically, I'd be like, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes to get me to the goal. And that was, I would go to restaurants with a scale. And I remember going to, people will cringe at this when they know what this restaurant is. But while I was in prep, there was in the UK, there's a chicken restaurant called Nando's. Now I could go there, not right at the end of my prep, but I could go there on a Sunday and that would be my one meal out. Cause I could go there and basically order chicken, rice and vegetables, but it would be in a restaurant setting. It would taste nice, but I would still go and I would weigh the rice at my table. And I'm like, I don't actually care at this point what it takes. I don't care what someone thinks. I really couldn't care because I'm being true to the version of me that's going to get to the goal. And also, regardless of how close, I mean, in this circumstance, whether I stood on stage and won or not, if I lost, I knew I did everything that I could have possibly done. So for you, let's say, whether you do or don't technically get to the exact place that you want to get to, you'll look back and go, I did everything. And actually, it was the doing everything that's given me probably more than maybe even achieving the goal. And I think that's maybe the area that people tend to lose a little bit of focus on, which is, yeah, the destination is important. But of all the goals I've ever achieved, and I think a lot of people will be the same, and you'll maybe get this in work, of all the goals I've ever achieved, as soon as I've achieved the goal, it's done to me. The achieving the goal isn't the thing I remember. It was the journey to get there. I mean, as an example, the company, we recently won something called a 2 Comma Club Award, which is something that a company called ClickFunnels give out when you've done a certain amount of money through one funnel. And it's a lot of work to get there. And the award looks amazing. And technically, it should be up on my wall here, but it would look a little bit crowded. Guess where it is? It's still in the box underneath my table. Like, I've won the award. I'm like, it took me years to get it. I'm like, cool, won it, next. But it's the journey and the things I've learned, the failures that actually to get to the award. And it would be the same in terms of a physical goal, you know, personal achievement goal like yourself. Who's the person you had to become to have a chance of reaching the goal? Not the goal itself, it's who did it change you into? And I think that's you've absolutely, you know, completely embellished that. So that's absolutely amazing.
So here's what I'll say to you. In the company, we have a phrase here. There's 2 days a year you can't do anything on. Absolutely nothing, Andy. You can do nothing on these 2 days a year, yesterday and tomorrow. It's only today, man. So yeah. Every day when you wake up, it's the discipline of today that will make you better for tomorrow's today when you wake up. Yeah. And so enjoy that day. Enjoy making your food. Enjoy measuring it. Enjoy working out. When I go to the gym, I have a certain number of sets. I'm only going to do that many. So enjoy all of them. Take them to the end. Make it a journey that counts, because tomorrow will never be here and yesterday is already gone. You only have today. Make it the best.
I think you're absolutely bob on. And again, it's do something today that the version of you tomorrow, when kind of tomorrow, even though it doesn't get here, but when you get into whatever tomorrow is, you look back and you're like, oh, I'm glad I made that decision yesterday because I'm 1% better today. And I think that's key. Ron, listen, man, I'm so glad we got to reconnect and have this conversation. I'm so happy to hear how well you've done. I'm so happy to hear that you're still striving towards a really lofty, challenging goal. But regardless of the goal, what I think is cool is to hear how all in you've gone after it, because that's obviously, I think, what's been the coolest thing is to sort of hear you say, well, you know, if it means I'm going with a wheeler into a hotel, then I'm doing it. And I'm like, we need to get one branded up for you, so then like they know exactly what's going on. Ron, listen, I'm going to let you go. Listen, thanks so much again for coming on. I'm thinking that, you know, everyone who's listened to this is hopefully find that, you know, very insightful. I found it really insightful. So I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon at some particular point, Ron. All right.
That sounds great. Thank you again, Andy.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Look after yourself. Speak soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope that you feel motivated to start making changes in your life so you can see those results that you've been wanting to achieve. Remember, you can do anything you set your mind to. If you love the show, please leave us a 5-star review and make sure you tell your friends. If you'd like to connect with Andy, you can find him on Instagram at Andy_Naylor_Pure_Elite_Pro. I'll leave a link in the show notes as well. Talk to you again soon.